Let us bow our heads, open our hearts, and pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we ask that you watch over us, your devoted children, and keep us safe during these trying and questioning times. All this I ask in the most precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Watch what you say to me. I saw her head turn. You're not going to say whatever you want to say to me. How many times have we heard something like this being said? One of the greatest challenges to human nature is the issue of forgiveness. Forgiveness isn't something that everyone finds easy, but it's something that has to be done, and sometimes not only once, but a lot of times in the course of our lives. When someone does something hurtful to us, we become the victims of their meanness, or at least their thoughtlessness. How dare they do that to us? We don't deserve that. That's not right. Sometimes the worst part of those situations is the fact that the person that caused that confusion appears to escape scot-free. Nobody noticed who does it wrong. What everybody does notice, though, is how we respond to that provocation. That's where the real criticism comes into play. Unfortunately, that's the nature of being human. We may not catch the beginning, but once our attention is there, we're focused. How we respond determines how smoothly those situations go. And if you don't respond smoothly, you'll hear things like, "It wasn't that bad. Why do you have to cause all that drama?" Or, "Why can't she just take a joke?" See, it's all fun and games until it happens to them. Then it's not funny anymore. It's very serious. I've also discovered that age doesn't always bring patience and a willingness to forgive either. In my daily prayers to God regarding my wants and needs, yes, I have them too, I pray for wisdom and patience in raising my children, along with an increase in my understanding of situations so that I can better forgive. There's a saying that God gave us two ears and how many mouths?
One
mouth, so that we would listen twice as much as we spoke. Unfortunately, some people act as if they got one ear, four mouths, and before they can even hear what's being said, they start going off on somebody. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not casting any stones, because in the past and even right now, I'm one of those people. The difference is that I'm trying to be a better person, and I hope and pray that y'all are trying to do the same. See, in order to forgive, we have to do three things. We have to relax, relate, and release. We have to relax our minds and let our guard down. You see, not everyone is out to get us, no matter what we believe. No, not everything is directed at us in a harmful way. We just have to take it easy and breathe. Sometimes it isn't actually all that bad. We have to relate to others. We have to place ourselves in the other person's shoes in order to sympathize and try to understand what caused them to say what they said. We have to ask ourselves questions such as, would we want to hear somebody say that to us? How would we respond if somebody said that to us? What made them say that in the first place to begin with? And finally, we have to release. But what do we have to release? We have to release that pent-up hostility from the toxic world that we unfortunately live in. The world where quick responses have become a part of our daily lives. Where common courtesy just isn't so common anymore. It seems that respect for people is at an all-time low. What we have to do is release that hostility from our hearts, minds, and souls and place it on the powerful shoulders of God. Because He can handle it, and He can handle a whole lot more. Amen?
Amen.
When we let the toxic nature of life and all of our frustration go, it frees up our souls in order to offer love to our brothers and sisters. Now, isn't that something we all need? We need to not be stressed. We need to have less burdens on our shoulders. A lot of the things that are said to people, they're delayed responses to situations and things that other people might have said to us during the course of the day. And then we're like on pins and needles. Sometimes it has nothing to do with the person that's being lashed out against as we set forth those unkind, uncaring, and thoughtless things. There's a saying. I might be a little older than y'all, so I might know it. Y'all might not. You never know. It's called manners maketh the man. But that applies not only to men. It applies to women also. Sometimes we have to take a deep breath or count to five before we respond to anything that was said to us, because we may not know the situation that the person is going through. We don't know what caused them to say what they said. Trust me, no one wants to be the final straw that breaks that camel's back. How we handle a situation in order to get into the mindset of forgiveness is what matters. James chapter 1, verses 19 to 20 tells us that we have to be quick to listen, slow to anger, and just as slow to speak and respond. See, the difference between my younger self and me now is that when I get knocked down by something that someone says, I don't stay down. I don't admit defeat. I get up, dust myself off, and get right back into the mix again. Time is fleeting. We can't spend our time being upset, being hostile, being bitter because somebody said something to us. I try my best not to lump everyone into a box of rudeness, cruelty, and just plain being evil. I accept the fact that we're human, and on the whole, it probably wasn't done intentionally. We all make mistakes, and that's something that we have to understand before we respond back with that negativity or that feeling that we have to be violent. Remember years ago when there were bumper stickers and keychains that had the acronym WWJD? Anybody remember what that stands for? What would Jesus do? But what would Jesus do in these situations that are so rampant these days, where rudeness is almost commonplace? We're in a time where people walk around, where they're afraid to say basic courtesies like, hello, good morning, how you doing? Because someone might say something hurtful. Or in present day society, someone will pull out a gun and shoot you. It might have been a joke 5 years ago. Now, not so much. In Matthew chapter 18, verse 21, Peter asked Jesus, How many times must I forgive my brother? Up to 7 times? Jesus answered by saying that we forgive 70 times. The point is, I can stop after that person reached that 490th time, and then on the 491st time, wreak a wreck holy hell upon them as if they had their time. It's that we forgive as many times as a person needs to be forgiven. And we forgive them again. If we start the day believing that Jesus came into the world to save sinners, that Jesus came into the world to prepare us for a better life in a better place, that Jesus came into the world to teach us that we are to love our neighbors as ourselves, then what's the problem? Because I don't see one. Amen? Whenever we sin and mess up, and we get on our knees and pray to God with sincerity, we expect God to forgive us, don't we? Because I know I do. But it's very different for us when somebody does something wrong to us, when somebody says something hurtful. We often have a hard time letting go of that moment in time and forgiving. The easiest thing to do is to stay angry, because it takes so much more energy to forgive and let it go. But in actuality, it takes more energy. We become the slave to that bitter emotion. We become the victim. We become powerless when we don't forgive those who wrong us. All that energy we're spending on that, when we have better things to do. You see, we're born with a sinful nature. And we, including myself, I'm only higher because I'm standing on the pulpit. We're all level, and we're all one. We're like sheep that wander away from the shepherd every now and again, from the straight and narrow path of trying to do what's right. After all, we're only human and we make mistakes. It happens. It's how we proceed from there that matters. Jesus talks about the forgiveness that God, the Father, offers us. There's an expectation God has of us all, because we were forgiven. We have a mandate in which we have to live. It's something that we say every time we say the Lord's Prayer. It's not a secret. Forgive us our trespasses as we what?
Forgive those who trespass against us.
Amen. Forgive those who trespass against us. It's not some secret that you have to go to seminary or sit down with the Bible to read in order to understand. Often people forgive with their mouths, but then you'll hear comments coming from them that say, I've forgiven them, but I can't forgive what they did. Or an argument brings back cries of, you did such and such to me years ago. And the old hurt are brought back alive again in the present situation, in the present day. See, I've talked to a few people over the years, and some of them have shocked me by what they said when I asked them some basic things about Jesus' teachings. Jesus' teachings are about doing right, about loving one another. It wasn't something he just made up as he came about. Jesus was not a Christian. Jesus was Jewish. That means he had access to everything they had access to after they had access to it long before. It's not something he gets set down and gets said, now I understand. This is what we're going to do going forward. How can someone claim to follow the teachings of the Lord without following the Lord of the teachings? He's our example. He is in our hearts. God is with us in the beginning, now, and forever. The Old Testament shows us a God of love, mercy, and grace. A God who will even forgive our sins and wickedness. Now, building on top of that, we have the New Testament, which makes clear that such forgiveness applies not only to our accidental sins, but also to our deliberate ones. The ones we know that we're doing. And no longer requires rituals or sacrifices of white goats and sheep. You know, none of that stuff. We don't have to do that. Jesus is the completion and the fulfillment of the law. Instead, now, it depends upon the faith and the ultimate sacrifice of Jesus Christ, who, while nailed to that cross at Calvary and was dying, and what did he pray for? He said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing," in Luke 23:24. The Bible instructs us to forgive as the Lord forgave us in the letter that Paul wrote to the Colossians, saying, "Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you." Colossians 3:13. Don't take my word for it. You have a Bible. Look it up yourself, like reading Rainbow. Look it up. See, I'm not going to lie to you because there's no need to. Forgiveness is not easy. It's not a one-time thing, and then we automatically live in a state of bliss, a state of forgiveness. Forgiveness requires a lifetime of forgiving, but it's important to God. We must continue forgiving until the matter is settled in our hearts, until that bitterness, that hatred is gone. God tells us in Hebrews chapter 8, verse 12, "For I will forgive their wickedness and remember their sins," when? No more. If God can forgive us, why can't we forgive one another? That's what true forgiveness is. The forgiveness that we should always strive for. Jesus showed that forgiveness by being able to say, "Father, forgive them." He said this about or for the very people that cursed him, that spit on him, that beat him, and then at the end of the moment, that nailed him to the cross at Calvary. My brothers and sisters, forgiveness does not mean forgetting what was done to you. We're not God. We're human. It's our nature to remember things. What it does mean, though, is trying to not make that same mistake. Trying not to hold on to that bitterness. You don't have to be better than anybody else. You just have to be better than you were yesterday and the day before. When we find ourselves asking, "How can I forgive you after what you did to me?" we shouldn't have an issue with saying, "Because God forgave me." Amen? In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.